From the Rust Center for Media, welcome to Focus on Southeast, a monthly program on issues and events impacting the campus of Southeast Missouri State University. I'm Dan Woods with KRCU Public Radio. Today we're talking with Southeast President Dr. Carlos Vargas. We'll talk about recent university news, including budget challenges the institution is facing and much more. Dr. Vargas, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Dan. It's good to see you again.
Good to see you, and we'll talk about the budget toward the end of our half hour, but we want to start with, we know right now, the folks who are keeping up with the news know that it's a challenging time for higher education institutions in Missouri. But challenges aside, what are some things you can tell us about some of the good things that are happening at the university?
Oh, thank you. I'd like to talk about that, Dan. I have been telling people that I really, really feel that we have the opportunity here to come out of this situation that we're living in right now, financially, as you described, much stronger than we are. And we are a strong institution. Let there be no doubt about that. But I think we can come out of this stronger. We are building on our branding that took place about 3 years ago or so, finished 3 years ago. And we are increasingly talking about how students come to Southeast to when they want to become career ready. It's not just getting a degree. It's actually they come here to really set the basis for their careers. And that's what we're working on. Helping them be successful for 145 years, and that's, by the way, the age of the university at this point, 145 years. We've taken very serious the task and the challenge that we have to prepare teachers, to prepare professionals in dancing and theater, artists, performers, scientists, people who are in the agricultural field, businessmen and women. So we're really proud of our alumni base, which is about 70,000 in size. And 50,000, by the way, of them live here in Missouri. So people tend to stay here. And so what we are doing increasingly is meeting with employers, and we are doing that with our faculty and staff, meeting with employers to make sure that we understand what is it that they're looking for, and also to tell them who we are. It is surprising how many times people don't really have a good sense of what, you know, we as institutions are like. So we need to take time out of our day to make sure that we reiterate the message, to make sure that people understand what we are here for and what we're doing. So we're doing great things. We have great quality programs at this university, and that's not something that people normally think of. But we are one of the top two universities in Missouri with the largest number of specialized accreditations. I will tell you, I say that to people, and people just don't react to that. But then right after I say that, I say, well, do you know what specialized accreditation is? And they say, no. And I say, well, you should have asked. Because it is so important, a specialized accreditation is a accreditation of a specific program. Could be theater, it could be computer science, it can be education, it can be business, it can be chemistry. These are accreditations that the university seeks and applies for. And when you do that, then you have a group of people. Say, for example, you're looking for accreditation in the field of theater. Well, you are required to write a study, a self-study, describing who you are and describing all the characteristics about your program. Then you send it to this organization, which is composed of all other programs, specific programs in theater, right, and the ones that are accredited. So they look at that document. So here you have a group of individuals who are experts in that particular field, who have accredited programs, and that means have standards of operation of the program, looking at your self-study. And then they review it, they analyze it, and then they come and visit you. So they make a visit to the university, and they talk to the faculty, they talk to the students, they look at the facilities, they look at the curriculum, they look at the experiences that the students have, they look at the students' work. And so once they do all that, they decide whether your program is of the quality that deserves to be accredited.
It's a challenge, I'm sure, with budgets the way they are and the challenges there, because you probably need money for marketing and you need ways to tell the general population about all the good things that are happening. How do you piece that together where you can still tell the story where you maybe don't have as much money to market and promote like you would like to do?
And that's a challenge. That's absolutely a challenge. So you need to balance how many of your resources go into marketing. But you cannot afford not to do it. Unfortunately, people really are not necessarily looking at themselves and seeing what is it that you are like and what do you offer. You need to go out to people and let them know who you are and what you do and what you bring to the table. I tell students, oftentimes students and parents too, by the way, feel that they all want to go to the best university, right? They all have the idea, I want to go to the best university. So many times they feel that the best university they can go to is the one, the most expensive they can afford. Okay, that's the answer that they give to themselves. Okay. The best university is the most expensive I can afford, that's going to be the best university. And I say that that is not quite right. The best university you go to is the one that fits in, where you fit in best. So it doesn't have to be the most expensive. It has to be the one that offers the kind of experience that you want and gives you the kind of preparation and the basis for your career that you want. And that's not necessarily the most expensive one. And so I tell students that they really need to look at these things. For example, accreditation of programs. If we have a program that is accredited, in theater, now say Berkeley has a program in theater that's accredited, I'm making this up, but assuming that Berkeley has a program that is accredited and our program is accredited, you can be sure that the quality of our program is comparable to the one in Berkeley, okay? Or Harvard if you want to use that one. So accreditation levels the field for everybody and allows you to say, look, I don't have to pay the amount of money that X institution asks me for. I can pay less money because the program is accredited. And so I know that the quality of the program is going to be comparable in both places. So these are the kinds of things that we need to tell people. And so we need to invest resources in doing that. But we need to rely on our alumni, on our current students, and the community in general to help us send that message out, to understand who we are and why there are so many good things happening at the university. And the fact we have sort of one of the two highest number of specialized accreditations is a testament to the commitment that this university has for quality in the educational programs. And, of course, we have a number of other areas that I could talk about that supplement that in-classroom education. But I think given the length of time I will not necessarily go into that at this point.
And I know one of the things that I've noticed, and I've been here for 20 plus years, that it seems to me the university as of late is more tied in with the business community. Some of the career expos and job expos that we have on campus where students get to meet employers, that seems to have grown.
Yes. We have grown. We have making a very concerted effort to go out there and communicate with the employers. And I think we are going to have 150 employers on campus on March 1st who are coming to it's called the Spring Career Expo, where they come to campus, these employers, 150, specifically to look for students who may be graduating from the university to offer them perhaps a job. So they're really coming to us. Oftentimes you have to go and look for what's out there, but the university is doing this, is developing these connections with employers so that they feel that coming to this expo is a worthwhile investment for them. So, and again, we are making sure that we help the students understand how important it is for them not only to have a solid understanding of their major, the discipline that they're going into, whether it's accounting or history or philosophy, but also have the kind of skills that will make them be successful in the business world, in the industrial world, or even in advanced higher education if they want to go for graduate school, in master's degree, a PhD, or EdD. So we are really trying to make sure that we connect with the employers and that they understand, and to listen to them, of course, so that we can help our students be best positioned to be competitive in the job market.
So let's talk a little bit about engaging students in the community. There's been a lot of work. I know you personally have been involved in that. So what are some of the things that are happening in that area?
Well, significant number. Certainly, I will tell you that keeps me very busy, and that's fine. I enjoy it. I like it, and Pam, my wife, likes it too. And we try to connect with the students as much as we can, because I firmly believe that the students react differently when they feel that the president of the organization takes the time to talk to them and becomes involved in activities that they have, understands some of the challenges and some of the aspirations that they have. So Pam and I literally go to as many different kinds of activities as we can. I mean, sometimes it becomes challenging because we have multiple activities at any one time. But weekends, it's fairly frequently that we're attending sports events, and the students really like it. They really do. We try to participate in activities in Greek life, for example. I just got an email today from somebody who is responsible for promoting activities in Greek life, and they sent me a little calendar with about, you know, 6 or 7 activities just in case I can attend. Yeah. I try to communicate with students in small groups, in large groups, individually. It is very important, I think. It makes the students feel that the institution is more personal. It's not as impersonal as in some other cases. And I really think that contributes to our ability to retain students and to help them graduate. I think they feel that they're part of it. And to me, that's very important, to have the students feel that they belong in the institution, that it's not just an impersonal thing, like when you go and buy, you know, a piece of candy in a store. It's just a very impersonal transaction. Mm-hmm. This is a place where students are becoming educated. They're getting a degree. They're preparing themselves to go out into different areas. I mean, many of them actually are working, as we know. They really have to work two jobs, and even sometimes 3 jobs at the same time. But what we want to do is to make sure that they feel comfortable at the institution. That doesn't mean, of course, that we just make it easy in terms of not having to do the work. They have to do the work. They have to invest themselves in making sure that their time here is really valuable, and that they really can say, I got something. The return on investment was high for me. So we try to connect with them in as many ways as possible. And then I think that is also helping change the culture of the institution, so the staff and the faculty. And I must say, when I first came here, the one thing that really attracted me to this university, among others, to be truthful, is how caring this institution was. The faculty and the staff truly go the extra mile to help the students. And I think that the students noticed that. So, you know, this last year, our retention increased, our graduation rates increased, which is something that we wanted to do. And we have reached the highest level ever recorded in terms of our retention and graduation rates. So we're going to continue to go forward. There's no doubt about that. But this kind of engagement with the students, I think, is extremely positive.
Well, one of the things you've done that I find unique is you visited some area high schools. Mm-hmm. And that's something, I know that probably takes a lot of time too, but it's something I'm sure that you feel is worthwhile to do, and it makes that connection early on with students coming.
Yes, absolutely. That's something that I'm really very excited. I'm very proud of doing. I visited about 14 high schools already in the St. Louis area and down here, and their reaction is really interesting. I mean, a few of them have said, you know, there's never been a president from the university coming and visiting with us. And we do that to understand also what their expectations are. And we have received good feedback. I mean, in some cases, they sit down with us and they talk for about half an hour telling us what we are not doing right, you know, how we can improve, what they need, what we need to be doing to help their students be successful. So it's been very, very rewarding. And I think that what it does, again, building on what I just said before, I want that relationship with the high schools to be more personal. I want them to feel that people here, that the president here knows who they are, and that we care about really helping their students, not just as, you know, in a piece of paper with numbers, but really getting to connect with them. In many cases, they've said, you know, we have students here that we know are going to be successful. We want you to pay attention to us when we say to you, this student is going to be successful because we know the student well. So that kind of connection with the high schools, I think, is similar to the one that we're trying to establish with the community colleges also in our Transfer Mentor program. So we have been visiting community colleges also, and I personally have been doing that. I truly believe in grassroots efforts. I think that they are very important, and they really set the foundation for success for our institution in the long run. So we're very excited that to the high school's visit we have taken faculty, but more importantly, I think in some ways, is we have taken students who have graduated from those high schools, and they're here at the university back with us. And it is wonderful to see these students going back to the high school and having an interaction with students that are, you know, looking to go to college from that high school.
That's a powerful testimonial.
Yes.
And I know you enjoy testimonials from the students to say, here's my experience and here's what it meant to me. And that connection can really do a lot.
Yeah. So as you see, we are trying to adopt a multi-pronged approach. We're working with high schools, we're working with community colleges, we're working with other universities to create partnerships. We're also working with the community, with the partners, with the business sector, with the industrial sector, because we need to be telling everybody who we are, and we need to be learning from them. So that connection is, I think, is very, very important.
So let's spend a little bit of time just updating folks on the budget and what we know at this point and where we are. Let's
sure.
Go there next.
Sure. Well, one of the things that I think I should say is, as you know, we have been working right this last probably a year or so in dealing with a fiscal year 18 budget that resulted in 9% cut for the university. So we've been working on that. But on January the 22nd of this year, 2018, Governor Greitens actually announced his fiscal year 19 budget recommendation. And in that budget recommendation, he proposes a 10.1% cut for higher education, which amounts for us about, actually for higher education, it's about $68 million. So we're still early in the process. We're analyzing the recommendations that he made, mm-hmm. and we're engaging with our lawmakers to make sure that they understand the impact that something like this would have on the university. I actually have visited Jefferson City to testify in front of the Missouri House Appropriations Subcommittee on Education, to talk about what we have already done for fiscal year 18 and what the result of a budget cut in fiscal year 19 would be.
So they ask you sort of, what have you done so far? How has this impacted your institution? You get to tell the lawmakers, I guess.
Right.
That
now,
story.
There's not a lot of time to do that. They give you, you know, 10 minutes or so. So you have to be very careful and make sure that you touch on the bigger points. But at least we have that opportunity. And then, of course, I have gone and had individual meetings with our representatives and to let them know what we are envisioning and what the damage could be to the university if we do that. So we're going to continue this process for the next 3.5 months. The legislature, of course, at this point is working, evaluating the recommendations from the governor, and eventually they will come back with a proposal for the governor probably by early May or so, and then at which time then the governor will then consider it, and then he will make a decision sometime in June, by the end of June or so. So it's going to take a little bit of time. In the meantime, there are all kinds of conversations going on. We have heard that there is concern about the cuts that are being proposed for higher education. So we're not really sure where we're going to end, but we are already starting to work on trying to do an analysis of what these budget cuts would imply for the university if they were to occur.
So you have to plan ahead, because that fiscal year would begin on July 1st.
July 1st, correct.
When that will start. Do the presidents of all the higher education institutions meet and discuss these? Do you guys get together
Yes.
and talk about these things?
Yes. There's an organization of all the presidents of the four-year institutions, and we have a regular meeting. We are in contact all the time, and we coordinate sometimes activities. We make statements about whenever we can make them that are impacting all the universities, we do so. I mean, one of the challenges, of course, that we have is that oftentimes higher education is perceived as painted with the same broad brush. And the reality is that we are very different. And so even though we are all part of higher education, sort of Missouri Southern is very different from Missouri State or from Southeast, from Rolla, from the University of Missouri St. Louis. And so really every one of us is different. Every one of us has a slightly different mission. And the kind of students that we are educating in many cases vary. And so it's difficult to just say we're going to cut a certain percentage to all of you, because that would be not different from if we were to take these budget cuts inside the university here and said we're going to do an across-the-board cut. You can't do that. To me, that's a recipe for mediocrity. You really need to be thoughtful and to analyze and evaluate the different initiatives and the different areas and then make decisions based on those and not just do across-the-board cuts. So.
We're out of time. Can you believe it?
Yes, I guess I do.
Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you very much, Danny. It's very, very nice to talk to you.